Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.
Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again to talk today about the doorbell, which I would have thought was only a relatively modern thing, but it seems not.
It is, I suppose, in a way, the modern version of the doorbell, Sean. The mechanised automatic doorbell is a late 19th century, early 20th century invention. But of course, bells, in their original sense, go back much further than that. Do you keep a doorbell on your house?
Yeah, but it doesn't work. So instead, we have a sticker that says, please knock, doorbell not working.
Yeah, that happens so often. Because who do you go to fix a doorbell, you know?
I don't know, because it's one
An
of those doorbells. It's
Yeah,
I assume so, because it's wired into the to the thing.
And but people don't feel like, I'm not going to get an electrician out
just for a door. Fix.
I'll wait until something else breaks
as
well.
Yeah, exactly. I went to the house is on fire.
Yes.
And get an electrician out for that.
So it all starts, well, I'm starting anyway. I've chosen to start in ancient Greece. Now, of course, there were two kind of famous great communities of ancient Greece. One was the Spartans. When they arrived at someone's front door, they'd just yell through the door and hope for the best. That was grand. Much more pragmatic. The Athenians, who were always considered a little bit more sophisticated and learned and members of the intelligentsia, they had a very interesting doorbell system. Now, the literature is somewhat confused around this, so bear with me when I try to explain what they did. But essentially, behind a closed front door sat a slave of the house, and this slave was attached to a chain. The chain then came through the front door, through a hole in the front door, and at the bottom, or the receiving end of that chain, was a metal bar. So when a visitor arrived, they pulled on this bar, which gave the slave a tug. He might be asleep, it might be in the middle of the night, or he might be completely bored, considering the nature of this poor man's job. And then they would get a tug on their left or right leg, depending on which the doorbell was attached to. And that was how the doorkeeper, so to speak, was notified that a visitor had arrived.
And what, the slave had to yell ding dong or something when
but the slave came and opened the door.
Kind of did a screening process.
I suppose, like whether or not this person was welcome into the house or not.
Wow. But presumably this is only like well-to-do people.
Oh yeah, yeah. These are very rich Athenians and high society Athens.
Right, okay. Now, but there was, and you did put up a picture on your Twitter account of a thing that kind of is like a doorbell.
Yeah, so the ancient Romans, they used what was known as a tintinnabulum. Now, a tintinnabulum will be known to some listeners as essentially a wind chime. And it was often placed in gardens, but it was also often placed on the front doors of homes. It was an assemblage of bells which hung from an erect phallus. No easier way to say that, Sean. Mm-hmm. The phallus in ancient Roman culture was a very important image of male virility, of strength, of potency. And the front door in antiquity was considered a vulnerable, sacred place. And that makes sense if you believe in demons and anti-gods and the like. Well, you know, this is the place through which people or demons, so to speak, can come into your home. And as a way to ward off these demons, the tintinnabulum was placed there with the bells. So the idea was that the bells would ward off the demons, but also this image of the phallus, this image of male virility, was supposed to scare off the demons as well.
Ah, is that where the phrase doorknob comes from?
That is a good question. That is a very good question.
And I'm not joking, actually, because I wonder if there might be a connection there.
Yeah, I don't know. Possibly. I must look into that. But that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, and we did actually skip over one that is very... this is in Alexandria, where they had hydraulic doorbells.
Yeah, in Alexandria, ancient Egypt. This was actually in the doorways going into a temple. So you would have A trumpet was set up at the door, and through a complicated series of pulleys, there was also a water container attached to the trumpet. So when the door opened, the water container tipped over and the liquid flowed into the trumpet, pushing air through the instrument and making a sound. So it made a sound, or whatever a trumpet sound
is. Well, that sounded very trumpety to me.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And it made the sound of the trumpet and warned the priests inside that there was someone joining their company. Quite a complicated doorbell, but ingenious all the same.
Yeah, still. Now, I suppose, though, not everyone can afford these elaborate systems or slaves or you know, erect phalluses, which presumably are pricey. So people would did people always use door knockers, or when did door knockers become more widespread?
Door knockers are ancient as well. However, as designed objects, as aesthetically pleasing, as beautiful objects, which many of them are in the Victorian period, that really began in the Middle Ages, when the whole culture of craftsmanship became very important again. And also, the culture of superstition became big in the Middle Ages. And once again, the doorbell was not just used as a warning device. The knocker wasn't just used as a warning device, but also to ward off bad vibes, bad spirits away from the house. So from the Middle Ages, particularly in the Georgian and Victorian period, we see the dog door knockers, gargoyle door knockers, and especially in British culture, the lion door knocker. And the most famous of those is perhaps number 10 Downing Street. The lion, of course, long associated, the three lions with English culture. Now, the other part of it, Sean, is that these door knockers, they warned you that there was someone at the door if you can hear it, but they would also be dressed depending on what was happening to the family inside. So if a baby was born, a white glove would be placed on the door knocker. If somebody in the house was getting married that week, a bunch of flowers would be attached to the door knocker. So the door knocker kind of had a central symbolic role in the life of the family.
Okay, and which is quite useful, really, for
really
people
useful.
Calling.
And, if you go around Georgian Dublin today, Gardiner Street, Mountjoy Square, or Fitzwilliam Square, there's still so many beautiful Georgian door knockers in this city as well.
Yeah. Now, in the 19th century is when we started to see bells again, widespread bells. Were there different sorts?
Yeah. So in the mid to late Victorian period, we see the rise of the doorbell proper, Sean. Now, there were two main types of doorbell. The first was the lever bell, which was essentially a button in the middle of the front door. And behind that, on the inside of the door, was a lever or a gong, which had a hammer which hit the bell when you pressed the button.
Okay.
Very simple piece of technology, but unfortunately it wasn't very loud because it was at the front door. You know, this could be a big Georgian house. The inhabitants could be way at the back of the building or in the basement and they might not hear it. The second most popular, which is probably my favourite doorbell of all time, was the twist doorbell. And you can still see
they're beautiful, aren't they?
They're gorgeous, yeah. This worked basically on the technological premise of a wind-up toy or an old-fashioned alarm clock. So you twist this bell and it has a hammer which repeatedly trills over the bell on the inside of the door, creating this kind of shrill sound. But as soon as you stop twisting, it stops. But if you keep twisting it, it'll keep ringing, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it could be incredibly annoying.
Yes.
but probably more effective than the lever doorbell.
Yeah, I would think so. So when did electric doorbells first start to...
So the electric doorbell was invented by an American, I should say, by the name of Joseph Henry. Now, he invented it in 1830, Sean, but it only became widespread in the very late 19th century, early 20th century. And the reason for that, of course, is because household electricity came much later than the invention of electricity, so to speak. And the doorbell was probably one of the last things to be installed in a house that was powered by electricity. So how did this work? This is the foundation of most doorbells to this day, comes from this man, Joseph Henry. So he invented, or he discovered, the power of the electromagnet. This is complicated, but I'm going to explain it very briefly and very simply, I hope. This was a small piece of technology with an electromagnet in the middle. And on the side were two metal tone bars of different intonations, so to speak. So you get the ding-dong sound.
Yeah.
When you press a doorbell, you are completing an electrical circuit. And the electromagnet is activated, so you get a magnetic field, and the hammer in the middle of the machine is immediately pulled by magnetism to the right hand side, and when it hits that tone bar on the right hand side, it goes ding. Then as soon as it hits that tone bar, the electrical circuit is broken and the hammer jumps way back to the left again, and it hits the other tone bar and goes dong. And as you press it repeatedly over and over, you'll get a ding-dong sound. That is 1831 technology, and very little has changed since then.
Yeah. I would have thought we'd have to become electronic and solid state and all that
This is electronic. This is using electromagnetism, and most doorbells to this day still use that.
My granny had a house with an actual bell for a doorbell, not electric like your typical bell, that you had to ring at the front door. It was in the countryside. You could go into town on it and ring it as hard as you like. It was great fun. Someone else says, I don't have a doorbell. Now I want one. Clara says, my husband drives me bonkers. We have a doorbell speaker thingy that is plugged into a socket, but every single day the husband plugs out the doorbell to put in his lava lamp. It drives me mad. Now, I do love looking at the floating bobs in the aquamarine water, but I'm getting fed up having no visitors as we don't hear the doorbell. Yes, we have a knocker, but said husband has not taken off the Christmas wreath, so said knocker is not working. You were talking about the phallus doorbell. Is that where the phrase pull the other one that has bells on comes from? We don't know. Sarah says, I moved into a new house that we built last year. One of my favourite memories of the process was choosing the doorbell. We went with one that makes a little tune in the end. And someone else says, our dad, this is my favourite one. Our dad wired up the Sacred Heart picture to light up whenever anybody pressed the doorbell.
That could really freak out visitors who are staying overnight.
Especially if they're any of those women who were protesting in 1986 over the dirty film. That would frighten the life out of you. Simon, thanks a million for coming into us today. We're going to take a break. After that, could childhood leukemia be prevented?
Moncrief on News Talk.
Sponsored by 123.ie. Don't make insurance a hot topic. Just go to 123.ie, where simple is smarter.